Jede Minute geht jetzt von Ihrem Croissant ab, deshalb mache ich es wirklich ganz, ganz schnell. And with that, I'd like to hand it over to our next speaker. He will talk about DevOps and one of the founders of the DevOps Days. It's a big event series all around the globe, said a couple of years ago. And remember, DevOps is all about putting the fun back into IT. And I guess our next speaker will not argue against that. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Please welcome again on stage my colleague, Donovan Brown.
Danke. Guten Morgen allerseits. Mein Name ist Donovan Brown, Senior DevOps Program Manager für Microsoft. Ja, sehr gut. Well, spreche ich Englisch for the live stream, danke. Huh? Okay, so as he said, DevOps it's just what I do, right? I'm a developer first and foremost, but I also was a process consultant for a while, which means I installed TFS and I'm a scrum master and I would stay on staff and I would help them come into the agile world. So DevOps is something that's really, really passionate to me. But what I've noticed is that a lot of people struggle with setting up the initial automation. So what I'm going to do today is just show you how we can do that for any language targeting any platform. Now I'm going to have a little help today, and my help is going to come from this little guy here. We call him Dono Dude. The reason why is because if you'll notice, there is a URL here, and I'm going to have a bigger version of that here in just a second. What you're going to be able to do is I need everyone to go there. Normally, I hate when you're on your phones when I'm talking, except yesterday when you guys were taking amazing pictures in Phelan-Donk. That was awesome. I really do appreciate the pictures. But I need everyone to go there right now, right? So get out your phones, get out your PCs. Even if you're using a Mac, that's fine. You can surf it on there too. But please go there right now, and you're going to get to vote. So you might not be able to see from there, but I have a PC on the stage, a Mac on the stage, and I also have a Mac here and a Linux machine all on the stage here with me. So what I'm going to do is allow you to choose which language I program in, what computer I use for it, and also if I deploy to Docker or if I deploy to Azure App Service. So this is for me to be able to prove to you that I can do this for any language targeting any platform. I said that yesterday in the keynote with Scott, that I could do any language, any platform, and today I'm going to try to prove it. Okay? So does everyone got that? Everyone's on their phones? Everyone's going there? Very, very good. So one more time if you haven't gotten it yet. So what we're going to do first is we're going to define DevOps. Everyone has done it, but I want to make sure that every time I say it to you, you know exactly what I'm trying to say and what I mean. Because there's so many different definitions of DevOps running around, I wanted to make sure that we're on the same page before we start talking about it. So what is DevOps? When I joined Microsoft as a program manager, they asked me to define DevOps for Microsoft. I took that extremely seriously. But before I defined it, I thought I should understand why is it the hottest topic on the planet right now. Does anyone remember a little company called Compaq Computers? Does anyone remember that company? That's where I started, right? So I'm a lot older than I look. I've been slinging code for about 20 years. And over that 20 years of my career, I've seen a lot of things happen. So I reflected over my own career on why did I think DevOps was important? Why do I think DevOps is hot before I went and attempted to define it? And reflecting over my own career, does anyone remember the days as a software developer where you physically got onto the production server, typed in your own credentials, and then like copied files all over the place? Yeah, I remember those days, right? Some of you are nodding. Those days are gone, right? We're not even allowed to know the password of that machine, let alone get on that machine. And I thought about, why is that? And then I remember the last time I touched a production server and how badly that went. Right? I copied my files, I changed registry settings, I did all the stuff I needed to do, and then all the lights on the server went out. Ops guy is furious because he's getting emails from everyone saying, hey, what's happening to our servers? Why is it not up? He says, well, Donovan touched it again. I said, well, then fine. Don't let Donovan touch it anymore. So what did I have to do back then? Back then, because my software installation was so difficult, because the code was kind of buggy, I have to admit, even if I got it installed right, chances were the lights were going to go out on that server. So they said, that's it, Donovan. You have to package up what you want them to install for you. Then you have to write a document that tells this poor person how to install your application on that server for you. If you thought my code was bad, you hadn't seen my document yet. It was worse, right? Because the document is all optimistic. It assumes everything goes perfect. And as soon as something goes wrong, there's no appendix in my document that says, oh yeah, if that goes wrong, this is what you do. So the poor operations guy would go and try to install my software. And he'd follow the directions and it would fail. And he would point the finger at Donovan saying, Donovan's software still doesn't work. I'd point the finger at him and say, you need to learn how to read. And there was this horrible distrust, right? So that's it. Now it has to be approved. There's all this red tape. And it's like, fine. To get software from the developer onto a production server now took weeks because of all the red tape, all the manual process, all the verification. And that was this distrust that started to build between developers and operations team. I was on a project that was late once. Once. Right? Has anyone else been on a project that was late, that missed its deadline? If you've ever written software, your hand should be in the air right now. And if you were on a project that was late, chances were that project was also over budget, right? Everyone raise your hand if your project was over budget. If you spent more time, then you spent more money, right? And what was so sad is back then, we were doing what we call waterfall. Waterfall is where you take all the information up front, you assume that it is perfect, and then you run for 3 months, 4 months, a year, and then a year later you deliver software. They ordered a pie, but you gave them a cake. Right? Sound familiar? They asked for a dessert. It's a dessert, but that wasn't quite what they wanted. So what I believe hurt the most 10 years ago wasn't DevOps. That's why we weren't talking about DevOps 10 years ago. What hurt the most 10 years ago was our inability to actually be able to write software. So we had to fix that. Waterfall was failing us. So what did we do? We came up with Agile. We came up with Scrum. We came up with test-driven development. We came up with Kanban. All these different techniques that allowed us to produce value very, very quickly. Now, producing value and delivering value are not the same thing. Just because your team is running in shorter sprints, because they're producing units of shippable code, does that mean that that code is being able to be shipped? Because remember the distrust? Remember the weeks that it takes to get code from a developer into an actual production server? That still exists. And you'll hear me say it all the time, I'm just gonna rub a little DevOps on it and make it better. And that's what I believe that DevOps is here to do, to kind of heal those wounds that have been created by decades of distrust between developers and operations. So that's the people part. We need a process that's gonna allow us to do this effortlessly. I seem to like that word a lot this time. I've been saying that way too much. But also, we needed products that are going to enable this for us. So when I came to that conclusion of I understand why it's important, and now I know what it needs, then I came up with this definition of DevOps. DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. This is true if it's a mobile app, a containerized app, a web app, VB6, Java, Node.js, it does not matter. The goal is to continuously deliver value. Now, I use the word value very specifically here and not software. Because as an IT pro, I can deliver value without changing a single line of your application. I can improve the infrastructure of which it runs, and we can add value to our end users. We can sustain more simultaneous users without changing the application. And it's value that we want to deliver. We do not just want to automate the copying of files. I also said that we have to make sure that we deal with the people. The people is by far the hardest part. Okay? I have the products already at Microsoft. And there's lots of other vendors who claim that they have the products as too. They're not as good as ours, but they have products too. So we have the products. We already know the process. We know how to do this. There's nothing I'm going to say to you today that you don't know that you should already be doing. Question is, why aren't you doing it? Chances are, it's because of the people. And we got to get the people to believe. We have to get them to understand that this is the way that we do this. If we do not embrace DevOps, we are going to lose. Don't believe me? Just read the news. Read an incumbent who's been there, number one, for 30 years, and then within record time is scared crapless because there's some little company that just shows up out of nowhere. Look at the taxi industry, right? They had a monopoly forever. And this little company called Uber showed up and just completely disrupted their industry because Uber was doing it differently. Look at big retail. Big retail has been brick and mortar forever. And then Amazon showed up. And now we want everything that we can get in an hour and we don't even have to leave our house to get it. These are companies who came in, thought differently, and was actually utilizing the fact that those other guys were too stubborn, too ignorant, or too arrogant to realize that they needed to change the way that they're thinking to be successful. So that is why I'm a big fan of DevOps, because I've seen how important it is, and you probably have as well. So that's the DevOps definition we're going with. Why is it important? Because your competition is already doing this. I ride motorcycles for fun. Yesterday was funny. Scott was saying, so how many of you guys drive BMWs? You couldn't see me because I was backstage, but I was raising my hand. I love BMW. I am addicted to them, and I have a K1200S BMW motorcycle. Way too fast. But when I'm on it, on the freeway sometimes, I wonder what the cars think about me 4 and 5 miles ahead, where I'm just this little blue speck in their rearview mirror. They have no idea how fast I'm coming towards them, and they don't even think about it till I pass them and I'm just a blue blur because they didn't realize. And that's what I think a lot of people do to their competition. They think that their competition is so far behind them that they're insignificant, but what they do not realize is just how fast their competition is moving. And by the time they recognize it, it's too late. Again, taxi. Think about, I don't want to say any more names, but big retail companies, right? They're all frightened by all these other companies who sprung up out of nowhere. They were the specks in your rearview mirror. We have to be able to increase the velocity in which we deploy software. I think mobile is the best example of that. There are probably half a dozen apps that do the exact same thing in the app store at any given time, which means if yours doesn't do what I want, I have so many more options to go get someone else. And do you think that if you crash my phone, I'm going to forgive you? No. I'm going to give you a 1-star rating, I'm going to uninstall you, and I'm going to go install someone else. And when do you think I'm going to come back to you? Tomorrow? Nope. Every other option has to crash my machine too before I come back to you and see if you've gotten better or not. So where's fierce competition and the velocity in which our competition is producing value, we have to match or better that. And we've been trying to do that at Microsoft as well. So you have to increase your velocity. You also have to reduce your downtime, which is usually an oxymoron. To go fast usually means to incur more risk. But you gotta figure out a way to go fast, yet reduce the risk at the exact same time. That's where automated testing comes in. That's where automated pipeline comes in. You should never, ever, ever send a human being to do a computer's job, but we do it every day. We have human beings touching zeros and ones, and they should not be. They should be deployed automatically by a tool for you that can do it perfectly and faster than you ever could. But yet, how many of us still deploy software manually, right? We all get there at the middle of the night, all hands on deck. We had to code freeze, and here we are fighting with computers trying to get our software deployed. You gotta increase your velocity and reduce your downtime, and you gotta get human beings out of the process. I've been traveling over Europe, started in Portugal. I've been to 3 countries already, and I will probably hit 7 of them before I leave Europe. I don't leave until sometime late December. And what I'm trying to do is prove this to everyone that I meet. So many of us hear the word Visual Studio and immediately shut down and assume that that's not for me because I'm a Java developer. Oh, he said Visual Studio, so that's not for me because I'm a JavaScript developer. Oh, nope, I use Eclipse, so Visual Studio, that word does not equal me. And what we're trying to do at Microsoft is make sure you understand that Visual Studio no longer equals .NET. Visual Studio equals developer. If you are a developer of any language and your software targets any platform, Microsoft has value for you. And instead of running away from the word Visual Studio, what we're gonna do is we're gonna double down on it. We're gonna put Visual Studio code on your Mac and on your Linux machine. We're gonna give you unlimited private repos in Git so that you can use it on your Mac and on your Linux machine. Instead of running away from the word Visual Studio, we're gonna put it in your face on every platform that you're on until you believe that it is for you as well. So please, if you don't remember anything else about my time here in Germany, please remember this, that Visual Studio works for any language targeting any platform. And while you're voting, and feel free to vote more than once, you're gonna help me prove it. Because at some point, there's gonna be a slide that says demo, and I'm gonna have to go see how you guys voted. Then I'm gonna switch to whatever machine you told me to prove that this slide is the truth. When you're trying to manage DevOps, you're trying to manage the entire process. One of the things I like about this slide is that Microsoft is one of the only vendors on the planet that has everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software, period. We have the language that you want to program in. I love C Sharp. I come from a C lineage. I learned C as my first language, C++, so I naturally went to C Sharp. They not only own the language, but they actually have the platform. They have the IDE. We have it now in Xamarin, which means you can also get to mobile. We have the cloud upon which you're going to run your code. We have a CI system, source control, continuous integration. We have monitoring systems. We have deployment systems. Microsoft literally has everything. And we work really hard to make sure it works for everyone. So you got to do planning, right? We can actually allow you to do that both on-prem or in the cloud. TFS and VSTS, they're twins. Just one of them's 3 months younger than the other. What I mean by that is that we host one of them for you in the cloud. We update that every 3 weeks. When I say update, these aren't just bug fixes. These are new enhancements, new features every 3 weeks. This used to be a product that took us 3 years to write, but we are also on this DevOps transformation that many of you are on, and we've been able to reduce our time from 3 years down to 3 weeks, okay? Now, TFS, that is basically one that you can install on-prem by yourself and host it behind your firewall should you feel more inclined. Some people still don't trust the cloud, and we understand that. So we're here for you on-prem. We're also here for you in the cloud. Gone are the days where you actually rack a physical server. Now we do everything in the cloud. And we have a tool called Azure Resource Manager that allows me to use a JSON file to describe what resources that I need to live inside of Azure. I can then give that file to many tools, and those tools will then go and provision that environment for me in Azure should it not exist. If it already exists, it'll make sure that it looks exactly like it's supposed to. Yet we're taking that ops guy and we're bringing them into the fold. We're teaching them about source control, automation, continuous integration, so that they're no longer having to manually configure those servers. If you're in a hurry, just run your build again, and we'll provision the environment to host it. If the environment's already there, but it has a little bit of configuration drift, we'll fix that for you too using desired state configuration. We'll make sure that every Windows server looks exactly the same, that it has IIS, the proper version of .NET on there, that it has port 80 open so that your website can see the daylight. We can do this for you automatically as code. That allows us to be able to take that information out of the ops guy's head and put it in a way that it can be shared with your entire team. We can deploy your application no matter how it is developed. You want to deploy a WAR file? Fine. You got a zip file that's a web deploy? Great. An MSI? No problem. Whatever binary you produce today, our tool set is ready to receive it today. And then we will help you deploy that anywhere that you want. How many of you guys like ASP.NET? Huge ASP.NET fan myself. How many of you have ever been burned by a web.config? Everyone raise your hands, right? Because you've gone in there in a hurry to change something and you left off an angle bracket. You got the yellow screen of death. Or worse yet, you put the wrong connection string in there and what should be pointing at dev is now pointing at production, right? That file can be very, very dangerous. So what should you do? You should never touch it. What we do is we use a technique called tokenization, which allows you to tell us what values should be in the file in each environment, and then we go fix it for you. No more human beings touching any zeros and ones. No zeros and ones should be touched by humans. Now, there's a time where human beings need to give their approval. We'll talk about that here in a second. If you're using SQL Server and you do not know what the abbreviation SSDT stands for, I apologize. It is one of Microsoft's best-kept secrets, and it should not be. It stands for SQL Server Data Tools. It's an amazing piece of architecture and technology that allows you to treat your database the exact same way that you treat the rest of your project. You can version the schema. You can refactor data columns. You can then build something we call a backpack or a DAC pack. The only difference is one has data in it. The other one only has the schema. Given a DAC pack, I can give it to our release management system. I can point it at any SQL Server in the world and say, go make that SQL Server look like it's supposed to. It will write all the ultra scripts for me, and it will not drop a single line of data in doing so. Automate the deployment of your database alongside the rest of your application, because it's an entire solution. You shouldn't have to deploy one and then later deploy the other. They should be deployed as a unit, as they've been designed. With a backpack, we can actually put data in there. So if you need to run integration tests against the known good data set, you can actually produce that with a backpack. And upon every deployment, not only deploy schema changes, but a known set of good data so that your test can run against that successfully. Because if you've ever had a test fail, not change a single line of code, then all of a sudden that test starts passing again, chances are you had a data issue that you need to go back in and correct, and backpacks can help you with that. We will run any automated test that you want, coded UI, web, PIN, Selenium, in-unit, X-unit, MB-unit, you can stop me anytime. We will run any testing framework that you want as part of our build and as part of our release. Manual testing is still important. I remember I got cornered once. Donovan, I hear you talking about manual testing in DevOps. It doesn't make sense to me. How are you supposed to automate everything yet still have manual testing? You've never heard me say automate everything. I say automate everything that you can. There's a big difference. We had a company who tried to automate everything. They had automation from one end to the other. And they trusted that automation implicitly. Developer goes in, makes an insignificant CSS change. All the unit tests pass. All the integration tests pass. Everything is green, so the system deploys out into production. They instantly start losing money. They don't understand why. They go back and look at the build. It's all green. They go back and look at their deployment. It's all green. They weren't looking at the application, though. They were just looking at the pipeline that they had built. That was 100% automation. And then one guy got the bright idea, why don't we just go look at the application and see why we're losing money? So he goes through, and it's a shopping site, puts things in his basket, goes to check out, puts in his credit card, and then he sees it. The final button, thanks to that CSS change, had no text on it. The text and the button were the exact same color. A computer happily clicks that button because the ID of the button did not change. And the automation was told to click the button with this ID. But a human being, no one in their right mind puts in their credit card and then clicks a blank button. So that's why I believe I'm going to die long before we don't need manual testing. But again, no human beings are actually deploying code. Our system will stop. Allow your testers to go out there and do whatever testing they feel they need to before they then give our approval or their approval to our system and says, hey, I'm happy with what I saw. Everything looks good. Please proceed to automatically deploy this to the next environment for me. So I want to make sure you understand, do not think that you can automate everything. Automate everything that you can. Release management is that cool tool that allows you to define environments and collect approvals from individuals or groups to make sure that the code is safe to move from one environment to the next. And to deliver value, you have to have something like Application Insights, New Relic, Dynatrace, choose whatever monitoring tool that you want. But you can't just add files, copy them to the server, and assume you added value. If I added a new feature and none of our customers are using it, did I add value? No. You just randomly copied files to a server. What you needed to do was monitor that application while it was being run and determine what percentage of our users are now finding that new feature. If it's a big number, great, we delivered value, we need to do more of that. If we deploy it and no one uses it, we did not deliver value, we need to do less of that. And we don't have to guess. We will know because we'll have the numbers. So make sure that you're delivering value and not just randomly copying files all over the place. This is what people think of when they think of the word Microsoft or they think of the word Visual Studio. It's all Microsoft, as you would expect. My favorite slide is this slide. These are words you would not normally expect to see with Microsoft, but we integrate with all of these things. It's a new Microsoft. It's the Microsoft that forces me to carry a Mac, a Linux machine, and a PC with me everywhere that I go, because we work with all these tools, and our tools work on all those platforms. And what I think I'm about to do right now is prove it to you. So now it's time for you to figure out how you voted, and then we're going to go off and we're going to have some fun inside of the tools that we have here. So let's see here. Go to a web browser. You guys can see that perfect. And I'm going to go to bit.ly/demo. That's actually not going to work. It needs to be a lowercase d. Eventually, I will get this right. I need my special typing tool I used the other day. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I guess the live stream is working because that's some big numbers. All right, so I got to get on my Linux machine. I am going to do a Java application, and we're going to be going to Docker. So this, is, I believe, is PC number 3. Man, those are big numbers. I've done this before, but I've never had that many people vote before, so that's incredible. Can you see my Linux machine? Perfect. So this is Ubuntu 16.04. Oh, great, my mouse is in here. And what we're going to do here is we're just simply going to connect over. I feel like a magician when I do this talk, so let me make sure this is all working perfect. So automation is extremely important when you're dealing with DevOps. However, building the automation initially can be very, very difficult. So what I'm going to do is try to automate the automation, right? So what I'm going to try to do is make sure that that pipeline that you need to build so that you can continuously deliver value to your end users is actually easy to do and not hard to do. And the way that I did that, I was sitting in a meeting once, and Scott Gu, the gentleman you heard from yesterday, was saying, what I want is Donovan in a box, right? I want what that guy does so easy to do that I can just type in a few commands and it just does it. Because historically, you have to go to several different user interfaces, you have to set everything up, test it several times. So I thought, I wonder if I could put myself in a box. For Scott, how could I do that? And I started looking around for some tools that might help me do that, and I came across a tool called Yeoman, and that's what we're going to be using today. Yeoman, for those who do not know, and I have a slide that has a URL to it, it's a tool that allows you to quickly scaffold out an application. So let's say, for example, you wanted to create a Node Express app. You could type Yo Express, and then boom, all the files you needed for that application would just be on your hard drive, and you could start developing. And I thought, why are they only using it to create the files? Why aren't they using that tool to create the entire pipeline? Because I can. I have the files. I know about VSTS. I can build your build. I can build your repository. I can build your pipeline. I can deploy it all the way into Azure for you. So that's what I'm going to try to demonstrate for you today. But what I'm showing you here is team services. These are all of the different team projects that I currently have. I just want to show you that there's not one for Java. So it's going to be called Java Demo, but I want to, it's like I'm a magician. I'm about to make something appear. I just want to prove to you that it didn't appear before we started, right? So this is me showing you that there's no rabbit in the hat, right? But there will be a rabbit here in just a second. So there is no product there that called Java Demo. And then I'm going to come back over here, and I forgot to do something that I'm going to need to do here. You're about to see my secret sauce. If you're on a Mac, this is the secret on a Linux machine, this is the secret program you need so that you can type all really cool and fast like I do. I didn't mean for you guys to see that. We're going to edit that out so I don't give away to my secrets. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to use PowerShell on Linux, right? So PowerShell is open source. You can run it on your Linux machine. You can run it also on your Mac now. The coolest thing about having PowerShell on Linux and Mac is I can type DIR now. Which is awesome. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to use a tool called Yo VSTS. It's a generator for Yeoman that I wrote. It is now open source, and I hope that you guys all contribute. The only reason that it does ASP.NET Core, Java, and Node.js is because those are many languages I can learn. Right? So I got tired of learning languages, so I stopped at 3. So we're going to go Yo VSTS. But what I'm hoping happens is that someone out there who knows PHP or Ruby or Go or whatever other language that you want starts to help me add additional languages there so that people can stub out entire pipelines for whatever languages that they want. So what I'm going to do now, since you guys voted for Java, is I'm going to choose Java. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and rename this to Java Demo. And you guys chose to go to Docker, okay? So what we're going to do now is simply say that we're going to go to Docker. We're going to use something called a default pool. I'm going to show you this stuff here in just a second. Type in my access token. This is the subscription inside of Azure that I want to use. And then finally it's asking me, so what Docker host do you want me to use to be able to host your Docker image? And here is just the URL to my Docker host. As you can see there at the end, it says azure.com. So I spun up a Linux VM in Azure and configured it so that it could be my Docker host. The other thing that it's asking me for is, hey, Donovan, I know that you secured that Docker host, so I need to know the certificates that I need to use to be able to successfully communicate to that particular Docker host. So that's where they are on my machine. Finally, I'm going to store these in a registry. You might remember me talking about this yesterday. I said we need a registry to store our images. Because you're doing Docker, I'm going to produce an image for you. And the way that we do that is we're going to put ours in Docker Hub. We offer a service at inside of Azure, and I might switch this over, but when I wrote this, we did not, so I wrote it towards Docker Hub. So I need to be put in my password here. And then finally, my email address, and this is a demo, so that's fine. So what it's going to do now is it's going to start communicating with Team Services. It's going to say, hey, Team Services, I'm going to create a new Java demo project inside of you so that I can get the source control, the build, the deployment, work item tracking, everything that Team Services offers is to me. I want to go create that for me right now. Once it's done creating that team project, you're going to start creating the build definition. And this is smart enough to be able to say, I know I'm doing a Java build, so what I'm going to do is make sure that the task inside of your build understands how to do a Java build. Now, the certificates I gave it, it's using that stuff right now to create Docker service endpoints. Inside of Team Services, we have the ability for you to connect to external systems. And Docker is one of them, and it used it, and it created that connection for me. It does the same thing also against Azure, so that I can deploy out into Azure safely. It wires that all up. You would normally manually have to do all of what I'm saying right now. But instead, you just type in a few answers, you sit back and relax, and you basically let the system go and build your entire pipeline for you. It's even going now, and it's cloning my repo for me. So I believe I just need this one and this one. So it's saying, I'd like to clone the repo down that was created in Team Services, and I've already put all the files in there for you, and I even did your initial commit. So now on my local Git is a commit of the files that were created for me. All I have to do is just Git push. And moments later, this will be running in Docker for us. So what I want to do first, though, is let's move over into the Java project. And I'm a big fan of Visual Studio Code, which you guys just got to see earlier. And what we're going to do is we're going to go make a quick change here to prove that, again, there is no rabbit in the hat and nothing created before I got here. So we're going to go into main, and we're going to go into web app, and I'm going to basically find the layout that I used. And I'm going to change some text in here. Here we go. And we'll just change this to dormstock. Perfect. Okay. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to use Visual Studio Code like we did before, and I'm just going to say title, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to commit this code. And then when I'm done committing it, I'm going to go ahead and push it once it's done. Catch up with me. Push, and we're going to push it to that repo that we just got. So now if I come back over to my browser and I refresh this, you're going to see that there's now a new Java project that was created for me. Now let's take a tour of what's actually inside of this Java project. As you can see, we have our code. So this is where we offer two different types of source control. Centralized source control, where you just check in and check out, and also Git support. So if you're paying for private repos today, I can instantly save you money, because at Microsoft, we give away unlimited private repos absolutely for free. We make $0 and cents on our Git. So if you're paying for Git, simply stop. No, it's that simple. It's the same Git that you know and love. Every Git tool that you use today will work against our Git as well. It's no special Git, it's just Git. We just give it away for free. So if you're paying for Git repos, please evaluate Team Foundation Server and Team Services, because we'll give you unlimited for free. And anyone who's listening to my voice right now can go to visualstudio.com and create one of these accounts for free. It costs absolutely nothing to get started, okay? So please feel free to go out there and evaluate that. So here's the source code that was generated for me. In addition to that, we have the ability to do work item tracking. DevOps begins with the idea that you want to turn into a working piece of software. And what I can do from this screen here is create a product backlog, and let's say I want to do a end-to-end demo. And simply by pressing enter, I've now added a new work item to my product backlog. A product backlog is just a laundry list of any and everything that you want your software to do in priority order. And we make it really easy for you to manage that. And you can even break it down if you needed to into additional tasks and other things that you want to do. For say, this will be task number one. And then when I'm done, I can even view this as a Kanban board so that I can then drag and drop these items as they move across the screen. We also support SignalR, so that anyone else watching this board will see the changes that you make to it instantly. So if your team is not co-located, this is a great way to be able to do your daily stand-up and see progress without you guys having to sync up after the meeting. Not only do we have work item tracking, but we also have build. Our build system is drastically different from what it used to look like. If you have not looked at our build system since TFS 2013, please take another look. I'm sorry for our old build system. I've said it. Our new build system is awesome. I will put it up against any CI system on the planet right now. But if you're thinking about our build system compared to our old build system, I understand why you chose Jenkins and Team City and all those other guys, because against 2013 and prior, I would have chose those other systems as well. Okay, so I'm just being perfectly honest. In 2015, that is not the case. I would choose our system time and time again. Why? Because if I come over here, let me go back to my build actually. I want to show you exactly what it's capable of doing here. So if I edit this, it is just a task of all the things that you want it to be able to do for you. And for Java, it's very simple. I need you to run a Maven file for me, so it's going to find the POM file for me, run Bower to do all my client-side dependencies, and then build my Docker image and push my Docker image to Docker Hub for me. Okay? Here is a task list. I think I showed this in the keynote as well, but it's a list of any and everything you could possibly want to do. This list is extendable, so you can actually go to a marketplace, and in our marketplace are tons of vendors and partners and even some of our competition out there writing extensions for team services. So if there's something that you need to do, chances are someone's already written a task to do that. If not, if you know PowerShell or you know Node.js, you can extend this yourself. Another thing that I like to point out about our build system is that anything you can do from a command line, we can do from our build and our release system. We can run any batch script. We can run any arbitrary command from a command line on Mac, Windows, or Linux. We can actually run any PowerShell you might have written. And if you have a shell script that you want to run on a Linux machine or a Mac machine, you can do that as well. Any language, any platform. Our build agent, the little piece of software that does all the heavy lifting, it installs natively on a Mac. That's why we can do all of your iOS development with Xamarin. It installs natively on a Linux machine. So if you're using that for your Java code or for your Android development, we can build it directly on the Linux machine that you want. And obviously, if you're doing .NET or some other type of development that requires Windows, we have Windows servers for you as well. So anywhere you want to be, we're already there waiting for you. Our build system is drastically different. And we don't even require you to use our source control if you want to actually use our build system. So this is not displaying correctly. There we go. Git, that's our Git that we support. Not that it's any different, it's just it knows that it comes from Team Services. If you're already doing projects inside of GitHub, then you can actually use GitHub as well, and you don't even have to move your code from GitHub to start using our build system. We'll start building that code for you instantly. You're already in Subversion, fine. Bitbucket, great. Just go use the external Git to go to get anyone else's Git repo that is not listed on the screen. But we support them all, so you don't have to switch what you're doing today to start using our build system. Our build system then has a twin called release management. The difference between release management and build is the fact that release management adds two more concepts. The concepts are environment and approvers. As you can see, I have a dev environment for our deployment. I could also have QA and test. In addition to that, I can go back in here, I could add additional tests. If I wanted to run pen test or performance test against my application, I can do that and report the results directly inside of my release. Now, if I want to go back in and look at the releases that I've already done, looks like we've already made some good progress here. So we went from just typing in a few commands to already having a successful deployment. So if I've done this correctly, and I open up another tab here, I should just be able to go to port 8080 on this particular URL here. And hopefully what's going to happen here is a Java app is going to fire up. From zero to DevOps, answering 5 questions. At this point, any changes that I make will instantly show up in this Docker host. I have tried to make sure that we automate the automation to make it really, really easy for everyone to do. Again, this is open source, which means if you needed to do anything differently, feel free. But I hope that this kind of example shows you the power that we have when it comes to team services. I can do this again for the Node.js application, going to app services. I can do this for .NET Core, targeting anything that you want. I can do it from the Mac, the PC, or the Linux machine. So what I want to do now is implore you, please go look at the source code. Figure out ways that you can make team services do much more amazing things than I've made it do. Feel free to add PHP. That's one of the ones that I want. But again, I'm so busy, I haven't had time to learn that language. But again, we can do any language in any platform. As a matter of fact, that's weird. Windows was second. Thank you for not making me use the Mac, by the way. I always appreciate that. I can't stand that thing. Honestly, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do, command or option, or my option is not to use it, so it's the easiest thing for me to do. All right, so let me switch back to my presentation, because I have some information that I wanted you guys to have now that we're done with the demo there. These are some of the resources that you can use. I am extremely aggressive on Twitter. What I mean by that is I am very, very competitive, as you might have noticed from the first slide. There is such a thing as professional air hockey, and I've been ranked as high as 11 in the world. I take it very seriously, like I do everything else. I bring that competitive nature with me to work. And every day, I look at our competitors' tools. I figure out why our customers like them, why they might have chosen them over our tools, and I go back and try to make our tools better. If you happen to see anything that you wish was different, or you have trouble with anything that has to relate with DevOps with Microsoft, that's where you can get some help. A lot of my followers, some of them I see in this room, are very aggressive, agile, and DevOps practitioners. And many times you'll ask me a question, and before I can even get there, they've already given you a perfect answer. So it's like this mini place for you to go like Stack Overflow for DevOps, right? Just ask Donovan a question and someone will answer you. So feel free to follow me on Twitter. If you think someone can do something better than us, use my competitive nature to your advantage, because I have proof of where a person was having a problem with a mobile deployment and he tweeted at me. I tweeted the program manager who owned that. Within an hour, we had a hot fix into production for that person. We're very, very serious about engaging with our customers, so use that to your advantage. If you're interested in Yeoman and how you can write generators yourself, that will be the second item there. I was able to do all of this because Team Services offers an entire REST API, so that everything that you see us do, you can actually do it from an API call. So what I did is I sat down and decided what did I need my system to do, and I basically wrote an API, wrote against the API, excuse me, to make it do that. If you're interested in any of the stuff that I do, so you can see the source code for the Yeoman generator, it is on GitHub. My name is Dark Warrior there, so you can go back in and contribute. Guys, thank you so much for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Donovan Brown. Thanks for joining us, Donovan.
Oh,
thank you
pleasure.
So much. Just one more question, Donovan.
Sure.
Because a couple of people were asking, and before we all leave the room, maybe we can just chat about that just for 1 second. Some people were convinced that DevOps will somehow vanish because of more sophisticated platform as a service offerings. How would you comment on that?
I hope that DevOps does vanish, but I don't believe that it's going to vanish simply because of that.
Yeah.
A lot of us might remember when continuous integration was bleeding edge, right? It was like something that you would only dream of and be able to check in your code and instantly have it built and tested. But now it's a checkbox. It's something that we used to talk about. What I'm hoping is that DevOps goes the same way, that we make tools like Yeoman so powerful and we make VSTS so automated that we don't even think about it anymore, we're not concerned with it anymore. So yes, I hope it does vanish, but I don't believe it's going to vanish simply because of one piece of technology. It's going to be the combination of several factors that are going to make that happen.
Before we have an empty room here, thanks again, Donovan Brown, ladies and gentlemen. Thank
you.
Werte Gäste, Sie haben völlig recht. Sie haben völlig recht. Lassen Sie uns das Plenum auflösen. Ich wollte nur ganz schnell sagen, wir sehen uns in dieser Runde nicht mehr wieder. Wir haben mittlerweile anderthalb spannende und hoffentlich sehr informationsreiche Tage hinter uns und dieses Technical Summits. Der Tag heute ist noch lange nicht zu Ende. Wie gesagt, jetzt langsam in Richtung Buffet und dann möglichst sehr schnell Grab and Run sozusagen in Richtung Vorträge. Ich darf mich von Ihnen verabschieden, möchte aber praktisch noch sozusagen als Outro, als Abgesang sozusagen dieser Plenumsrunde ein herzliches Dankeschön sagen an alle Partner dieser Veranstaltung, an alle Kolleginnen und Kollegen vor und hinter den Kulissen und natürlich an Sie, an unsere Gäste. Kommen Sie alle gut nach Hause heute Abend oder dann eben morgen nach dem noch anschließenden Workshop-Tag, der ja morgen stattfindet. Und ich würde mich sehr freuen, wenn wir uns alle wiedersehen beim Technical Summit 2017. Bis dahin, vielen Dank.